Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
George Washington Foundation, and this morning, Dave Maraca and Allison Ellis are back with us. A lot going on at Ferry Farm and Kenmore, and we will talk about that this morning. Good morning to both of you. Good to have you here this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I missed seeing you on President's Day. The weather forced the cancellation. It wasn't a surprise. There still was a lot of snow and ice but I missed you.
Well, that ice hung around much longer than we expected it to.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So we made the call to cancel the event just to be, you know, on the safe side of things.
I can remember a few times when the President's Day celebration was kind of on a weekend and on a Monday, and I can remember sometimes the Monday getting canceled, but for the whole weekend it was just that it left a hole in my President's Day.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's, you know, George Washington, if I had a sort of a nit to pick with him, it's on his birthday. That's a bad birthday for events. February is a hard month to plan an outdoor event.
I was surprised, or just thinking that most years you do have it. So it's very rare that you've had to do that, but I did think it could be a lot more.
Without a doubt, yes. We're pretty hardy, and so we go outside when it's cold. It's just ice on the ground is hard for us to sort of imagine how we're going to be playing games or having the stone throw when everything's covered in ice.
So there were some great pictures last week from the snow at Ferry Farm, because again a lot of times during the snow in January and February you're usually closed, but to see snow falling at Ferry Farm last week was something different.
Yeah, there's been two instances over the past couple months. I think in December we had a little bit of a snow that we got some photos of, and then one of our interpreters who was on staff the other day when it snowed unexpectedly got some wonderful photos, and we always love to post those and share those because it's not every day that, you know, we're around when there's a snowfall and it's safe to go out and get photos of it. So it's always kind of a treat when we get to see weather events at the sites.
Well, welcome back to Ferry Farm in Kenmore. Everything reopened on March 1st, and it's good to go by both places and see cars parked out front and people on the grounds.
Yeah, school buses are coming back too. We are fully booked with school programs for the next couple months, so it's definitely going to be a busy season for us as we reopen and get going for the season.
We've got a lot of events to get to and talk about this morning, but one we'll do right away here before we take a break, because you've only got a couple more weeks of it. Women's History Month.
Yeah.
At both sites, mm-hmm. and there's still two more Fridays. This is on Fridays, and still two more Fridays to go.
Yeah, so this Friday we're going to be at Ferry Farm the 20th. There's two tour times, 11:45 and 1:30. And then the last Friday of the month, the 27th, we'll be back at Kenmore at the same times. And these are specialized tours focused on women's history. So if you've never visited the sites before, we still encourage you to come, because we still give you a lot of the context of both Ferry Farm and Kenmore during these tours, but it's kind of put through a woman's lens, so especially through the eyes of Mary Washington and then Betty Washington Lewis over at Kenmore, along with some of the women who helped preserve and save the sites from demolition and redevelopment. So it's a really great opportunity for us to tell the stories of both sites through a woman's lens, through Mary, Betty, and also some of the enslaved women who lived and worked on the plantations themselves. So definitely check it out if you've been before or if you haven't been before to the sites. It's still a great opportunity either way.
So Ferry Farm is this week?
Yes, this week on the 20th.
And then Kenmore the Kenmore on the 27th.
Seventh, yes.
So, and what time do they start?
So there's two tours each Friday. 11:45 is the first one, and then 1:30 is the afternoon slot. And we also have, for Fairy Farm, we do an archaeology lab tour. So Danielle, one of our archaeologists on staff, pulls out a bunch of women's-focused artifacts, and she kind of goes through them and talks about a little bit about where they came from. And then over at Kenmore, we have our curator, Gretchen Pendleton, do a collections pull of some women's artifacts and talk a little bit about that and answer any questions. So it's a specialized tour plus a little bit of an extra for you as well.
For Women's History Month.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's this Friday and next Friday. This Friday at Fairy Farm, next Friday at Kenmore. Kenmore.org for information on all this. Facebook also has all the information on all the things we'll talk about this morning, too. Allison Ellis here, Dave Meraki here from the George Washington Foundation. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Allison Ellis and Dave Meraki here this morning from the George Washington Foundation. Kenmore.org, the website for all the things. There's just all kinds of stuff. Allison, this is really a busy spring. You had both told me towards the end of last year, we got a lot of things planned in the spring. And I thought, they always have a few things. There's more than a few things this year. There's a 18th century game night is coming up on this Friday night.
Yes.
And is that something new?
So we did it for the first time in the fall at Fairy Farm. Okay. And so we're bringing it back again this spring. And we have some new additions. So if you came in the fall, you're welcome to come back out because we've got some new games to play. And this is a really great opportunity to see the Washington House kind of as we intended it to be used in a more interactive sense. Mm-hmm. So we set up the house specifically for this event with tables and chairs and using the furniture to set up some authentic 18th century games that you can play and learn from our staff throughout the house.
So what are some 18th century games? I'm thinking that it's probably not Uno or things like that with cards or Trouble
quite.
Or something like Chutes and Ladders.
Well, we do actually have a game that is very similar to Chutes and Ladders, if you can believe it or not. The game of Goose is actually very similar to kind of the rules of Chutes and Ladders.
Yeah.
So you have a game piece and you move around the board and whatever space you land on, there's an instruction booklet basically that will tell you what to do. So sometimes it's move five spaces back or move five spaces ahead or skip your next turn.
Well, that is kind of like it.
Yeah, and it's really, really fun. And it has some fun elements to it. It is technically a tavern gambling game, so there's some gambling elements. So you have like little poker chips basically and you have to put some into the pot sometimes and then sometimes you lose all your chips or go back to the beginning. So it's really fun and it is really a great game to play, similar to Chutes and Ladders.
So I was just kidding about that. Who knew that Chutes and Ladders has colonial roots to
it? And the Game of Goose, I think, is one of those games that a lot of different board games have spanned from over the time. So the Game of Goose was very popular in the 18th century, but it has roots all the way back to like the Renaissance period. So it is a really fascinating history, but also still extremely fun to play in modern times.
So can you describe it at all? Because the only thing I can think of is Duck Duck Goose, and I'm thinking that's not anywhere near what I'm thinking.
Yeah, so everybody has a piece that starts at the beginning, and the board looks kind of like a spiral. So you roll a dice, and you move however many spaces, and you land on that space. If it has a symbol on it, you look at the instruction booklet that says move five spaces ahead. And so you would do that. And the goal is to land exactly on, I believe it's space like 65 or something. You have to land exactly on space 65. So if you land on space 64 and then, you know, you roll a 2 on your dice, you go to space 65 and then you move back one. So you have to roll exactly the number 265 to win. So it might take a long time because there's a lot of back and forth, and with those symbols, people start over. But really, really fun to play.
Well, you're right. That's so many modern games mm-hmm. are just like that.
Yeah, yeah. So it is kind of the predecessor to a lot of modern board games that we know today.
Well, this is really fun. You do get an idea that's you know, the games that we play today do have roots.
Mm-hmm.
They go way, way back. Well, so what ages are good for game night?
Well, for our fall game night, we had everybody from, you know, age 3 and up. You know, we do have our lawn games out as well, so anybody who's a little bit younger can still play with the lawn games outside. We also have games like Shut the Box, which are a little bit more math focused, so elementary school age kids can practice their math skills, some addition in that game. We also have things like checkers with our wooden checker sets, and then card games as well that are a little bit more advanced. So some families still can participate in them, but it is a little bit more advanced. So there's games for all walks of life at game night.
Okay, and it's from 5 to 7, which is a good mm-hmm. time for you're not. It's you can do things outside because mm-hmm. it's still light now.
Yeah.
And really, it gives you really a kind of a glimpse that we sometimes don't think about the fact that people played games and they had fun in
yeah.
colonial America.
Yeah. Leisure activities in the 18th century are something that people don't think a whole lot about sometimes.
Right.
So this is an event that gives us an opportunity to talk a little bit about those. And a lot of these are tavern games that would be played in the tavern.
Mm-hmm.
So it also gives us an opportunity to talk about, you know, different settings that these games would have been played in as well.
And the George Washington Foundation is terrific with the games, with the outdoor games you do with the kids, and when you have different activities. Something like this, though, I guess to do something, you've probably played. Have you played all the games?
Yes. Our manager of public programs, Emily, did a lot of research. She has laminated sheets with the instructions as well as QR codes to videos in case anybody needs extra help to learn. But our training for this event, basically we just sat down and played a bunch of games for a couple hours to really learn the histories as well as the instructions for the game. So it's a fun event to put on and definitely a fun one to attend to.
And so this is at Ferry Farm on Friday night, the 18th century game night from mm-hmm. 5 until 7.
Yes.
It does sound like a lot of fun. At Movie on the Lawn, I'm guessing that's a Kenmore
event. Yes, that is at Kenmore.
And mm-hmm. that's going to be on the 27th. And you've done movies before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is an event that we've kind of brought back recently. We attempted it in the fall, but we had some technical difficulties, so we're going to try again.
That's right. Yeah.
We're going to try again, and it's going to be great. We've tested all of our equipment, so we're very confident that we're going to be in good shape. We have concessions for sale, so we've got popcorn, and we're going to have some sodas and things available as well. But just come out, have a nice time on the lawn of Kenmore. It's a great atmosphere, family-friendly. You know, if you have kids that want to run around in the back during the movie, that's totally fine. It's just one of those opportunities to get out and be in the community and enjoy a lovely evening with friends and family.
And it is, what, an Indiana Jones movie?
Yeah, it's the first one.
Okay.
First Indiana Jones movie.
Mm-hmm. Is that the one with the big stone?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I've always thought that I've seen a few, the movies at Kenmore are a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's a great spot to put up a big screen and watch a movie at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those opportunities for us to kind of utilize not just the historic appeal of our site, but also the community side, the community aspect of having a site that's in the middle of the urban city of Fredericksburg. We love to just host community events that just harbor a sense of community in the city.
And our director of maintenance and operations worked at a movie theater mm-hmm. for years, and so, like, when I showed up to help with this, I was like, "Well, we'll just put the projector where it goes, you know, and we'll
right.
figure it out." And it turns out there's a whole science behind it, and
really?
The 4-3 ratios, and he just going through all this stuff, and I was like, okay, we do it a little different. I just wing it.
And, yeah,
But he's like, there are rules to all of this stuff, and he knows all the rules. And so it looks fabulous when he does it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it would have looked like if I had done this.
I would have been like you. I just want to put a screen up over there. Yeah, people can sit there.
You just move the projector till it's full, and then the screen is full. But anyway, no, that is not how this works. There's a science to it, and we know that science, and it looks really great. And he built the screen, too, so...
Mm-hmm. So this isn't just, let's pull the screen out of a box and put it up.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I guess one of the things when you have things like, you know, game night or movie night, to get people on the site, mm-hmm. and hopefully they look around and see things that interest them, and you want to come back because there's so much more to these sites. It's a lot of times you drive by them or you see them or you know, oh, I know where Kenmore is, I know where Perry Farm is, but you actually get on site and walk around, and especially to be able to do things in the house, mm-hmm. because like you said, it's not your it's a typical house of can't touch that, stop, you know.
Yeah, being able to interact with the furnishings and, you know, sit down at the dining room table and play a game is a different experience that you don't often get to do in a regular museum. So it's one of those opportunities that we can get people in that are interested in the games, and then they might be interested in coming back to do a regular house tour and learning a little bit more about the Washingtons, or coming to more events like 4th of July or George Washington's birthday. So it's a great opportunity to get more people in and interested in our site's histories.
And to see how close it is, and it's just how easy it is to get there, mm-hmm. and park and do that. And having been around when the house was being built, I know this was always the goal, Dave, to be able to do things like this. And for me, last year was the first time I'd ever been there in the spring, and there was a fire. I'd never been there in to see a fire, and that was to me just an awesome experience to actually see a fire burning in the fireplace. Yeah,
and that's the goal, to be multi-sensory, so you really get a feel of what the 18th century was like. I always tell people we like all the senses except for licking. Don't lick anything. But other than that, we are good to go. And the thing that we're hoping that people do is people that live in the community, when they have company, they think of us and bring their company over and tour our sites and just introduce people from outside our community to the excitement that is Fredericksburg.
Oh, it is. That's one of the, one of the first times when I was in the house and someone said, sit on the bed. And I was just like, I felt like I was going to get, you know, thrown out, you know, banned forever. And it was just those kinds of things. But to be able to walk around the house and touch things and see things.
Yeah, I made a joke about sitting on the chairs at Kenmore, and the curator was like, she just flushed, and then she told me to stop talking.
Right, yeah, because at Kenmore, there are the real rules there. But at Perry Farm, it is great for kids, mm-hmm. to be able to go through there, and especially when you can open the windows up, and it's a real living house, mm-hmm. and that's why something like game night would be really fascinating.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, and to see things like Twelfth Night, when you were able to see the inside of Kenmore at night with candles lit. Just to be inside these houses like that, as you know the late part of the day, they do feel like a house.
Yeah, and we experienced that with 18th Century Game Night. The lighting in the Washington House in the late afternoon and evening is just incredible. The sun is kind of setting towards the river, and you get the kind of late afternoon golden hour light coming through the windows. It's a different experience that not even, you know, the people that work there often get to see. So it provides a whole different experience being there after hours.
One of the things, you're all involved in the Virginia 250 passport.
Yes.
And that's a pretty cool thing. I got a passport this week. Woo. Yeah.
Come get your stamps.
Yeah, and I find that it's fascinating. everything that's on there.
Yeah, and it's definitely opened up a lot of people to different sites that they might not have even know existed. We've gotten some feedback from people saying, I didn't realize your sites were here in Fredericksburg. They live a county or a town over and didn't realize that Fairy Farm even existed. And they came because of the passport, and they thoroughly enjoyed their tour. It really opens up a whole new world to people that might not be from our region, but are still from the state and looking to enjoy different parts of history that they might not have been aware of before the passport. So we're very excited to be a part of this program.
So I got the passport. My sister-in-law had gotten me one. And said, here, I've got a. I don't know if you have one of these. And I said, no, I've wanted one. And I opened it up, and I opened it up to you guys.
Yeah.
And it just felt like fate that this was meant to be. And I said, I know these people. But it is. It shows you. You look at it, or you look around the state, and you just realize, oh, I've never been there. I've never been places like Yorktown or things like that. There's just a lot of places that I thought I had been, and I hadn't.
Mm-hmm. It really incentivizes you to go out and say, oh, well, I've never been to this place before, but, you know, I'll get there someday. This is your time to do it. Go get your stamp. It becomes kind of a memorial to the year, the 250th year, and you can look back at 2026, you know, 5, 10, 15 years later and say, wow, we went to all these different places, and it was really cool, and we learned so much that year. So I'm so, so thrilled to have this program and be a part of it at both of our sites.
So to have the passport, so you do get a stamp, just like a regular passport. Mm-hmm. You go and you'll get a stamp.
Yes. So once you get your passport at one of the Virginia Welcome Centers or one of the five key sites, which are places like Colonial Williamsburg and Mount Vernon and the Virginia Museum of History and Culture, you can look through and all of the sites that you see, you'll go in, you'll get a stamp, and you also get at least 15% off of your admission. So it's a little bit of a discount as well to do the guided tours at both of our sites and then also all of the other sites in the passport as well.
That is interesting, though. I hadn't thought about that, to be able to keep something like that and point back to 2026, because I know people that did a lot. I wasn't around here for the bicentennial in 1976, but there were a lot of programs, and you see people that did live around here mm-hmm. have programs that they saved from 1976. This is the same kind of thing.
Yeah, and in the digital age, I'm somebody who collects my tickets from all the places that I go, and in the digital age, a lot of the times our tickets are on our phones, so mm-hmm. having a physical reminder of the places that I've been this year is so thrilling to me. I love being able to flip through it and have it in my hands and say, this is all the things that I did this year, so it's super cool.
So go get your Virginia 250 passport, and we're all, again, you mentioned a number of sites, but and also the Welcome Center.
The Virginia Welcome Centers, and then there's, I believe, five key sites. So Mount Vernon, Colonial Williamsburg, the Virginia Museum of History and Culture, the Yorktown American Revolution Museum, all those sites you can pick your passport up while supplies last. I think there are a limited quantity, so definitely pick it up soon.
Okay. Kenmore.org. Again, Kenmore.org for information on all the things that we're talking about. Still much more to talk about with Dave Maraca and Allison Ellis here this morning from the George Washington Foundation. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is the George Washington Foundation this morning. Allison Ellis and Dave Maraca in this morning. Kenmore.org for information on everything going on with at the George Washington Foundation, Kenmore. And Fairy Farm. And Allison, we were talking about the Virginia 250 passport. You've got an event that's tied into the passport. What, late April?
Yeah, so April 25th, we have a VA 250 kind of branded event called Drums Along the Rappahannock. And this is a really exciting kind of new special event for the 250th year. We're going to have the Old Guard drum and fife corps coming to the site, which is super exciting. They're kind of nationally known for being a drum and fife corps that focuses on the kind of revolutionary era, and they, you know, dress in period dress, and they do the traditional songs of the era in the very traditional sense. So they're going to perform at that event. The event runs from 10 to 2, and they're going to perform at 1 o'clock. So this is kind of a free family event at Ferry Farm on April 25th.
It's free?
It's free.
Oh, my goodness.
It's free.
I'm opposed to that.
No, it's a free community event.
I was thinking the same thing. As soon as you said free, I thought, free?
It is. It's a free community event. So we're going to have all kinds of demonstrators. So we've got a blacksmith coming, the Loyal Drums Company from Stafford County, who recreates these historic drums. They're going to come and have a display of historic drums, but also an interactive setup for kids and families. We're also going to have some living history, some crafts. The Washington House will be open for walkthrough style tours like we typically do for larger events. Mm-hmm. And then the main focus is that Old Guard Drum and Fife Corps will be performing at 1 o'clock. So this is a really exciting event for us, kind of a one-off thing, definitely focused on bringing in the community and bringing that awareness and excitement around the 250th commemoration.
That is a big deal. I just thought, oh, they're having some little small get together thing, and how exciting to be able to have this kind of event right there on the Rappahannock.
Yeah, we've been working with the Stafford County Historical Society to put this on as kind of a regional event, and it's really coming together over these past couple months, and we're excited to bring it into Stafford County and to Ferry Farm.
April 25th, 10 to 2. I'm guessing that's a Saturday.
Yes.
April 25th, 10 to 2, and drums along the Rappahannock. Mm-hmm. What a great thing.
In
a great spot. And again, it all goes back to the Virginia 250. You're going to see events all year long.
Yeah, yeah.
Everywhere.
Definitely. So keep an eye out.
So around
the library already has a lecture series that started. And it's in different libraries throughout the region. And every weekend should have some sort of event going on, and if you just have to look for it and figure out where it's what you want to see and what and then just go. It's just going to be fabulous this year.
Yeah, no, and go to a lot of these. Get your passport stamped.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the best year ever.
It is the best year ever until next year comes, and there'll be new things to do. But this is one of those things that doesn't. 250 doesn't come up.
Only once.
All right. Yes. After I said that, well, yeah, obviously. But yeah, no. So this is really a chance to see a lot of these things and things that you have thought we ought to go see them. This is the time to go see them.
Mm-hmm.
Couple more of the little things, then we'll talk about the Colonial Fair. That's a really big, big deal in a few weeks. Deaf and hard of hearing community day. You've done this, I know, a number of times. Mm-hmm. Is this at Ferry Farm?
Kenmore.
This is at Kenmore. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so this is an opportunity that we have. We do it twice a year. We do Kenmore in the spring and then Ferry Farm in the fall.
Okay.
We do guided tours of the house with one of our incredible interpreters, and we have an American Sign Language interpreter, Abby, come in and do American Sign Language interpretation of the tour. So it's one of those events that we do every year. It's usually pretty well attended. We do ask people get their tickets in advance just so we can prepare ahead of time. But it's just a great opportunity for us to reach communities that might not always have the opportunity to tour historic houses.
Yeah,
like
so that'll be on April the 12th.
Mm-hmm. Sunday.
So that's a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Take care of that. Deaf and Hard of Hearing Community Day at mm-hmm. Kenmore on the 12th. Also, you do mini mornings at the museum, and you've got one on April the 2nd,
yes.
I believe.
Yes. So our mini mornings program is geared towards preschoolers, so from about the age of 3 to 6. And this is an opportunity to introduce your preschooler to the idea of museums and what it means to be in a museum and what they represent, and also just how to act and what your manners in a museum should be. So we have a pretty low-key event for mini mornings. It's usually a story time, kind of a scavenger hunt or exploration activity, and then some kind of craft. And they're all themed to different things. This one is going to be themed around flowers at Kenmore. So we're really excited. It's going to be, hopefully the tulips are in bloom at that point, which we're probably on track to be.
Yeah.
So there's going to be lots of color, lots of exploration, and lots of fun crafts and activities that we're going to do with our group there.
And it's only now. It's 10:15 to 11:15, so it's an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty low stakes, low key.
Stress you out.
Yeah. pretty short program, but gives you an opportunity to get out of the house with your little ones and take them into a space that is a welcoming environment for them.
One of the bigger events, and you've done this now a number of years, is April the 4th with the Colonial Fair. That's always gives you really it's a good old Colonial Fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Colonial Fair is a really fun event at Kenmore. We bring in a lot of different 18th century performers to perform on Kenmore's lawn, and it gives you a different experience at Kenmore than usual. Kenmore is usually pretty quiet and peaceful, but it gives some excitement to the grounds. So we have everything from an 18th century conjurer who does close-up magic tricks to a slack rope walker, and also a Punch and Judy show and music and other demonstrators. So it's a pretty packed day, but lots of different things for pretty much everybody.
And Dave, Colonial Fairs were like around here. It was a big deal.
Without a doubt. It was probably one of the biggest days on the calendar. And everybody comes to town. It corresponds with court days. And so in the 18th century, there weren't a lot of institutions, and so the one that worked the best was court. So you'd end up suing or being sued a lot, and so you have to come to court. And then they built this fair around it, and so you could do all kinds of things. They could have horse racing and people selling stuff and doing different demonstrations of different things, and just a massive day in the community.
Well, to be able to walk around, it was really one of the first times, just to be able to walk around Kenmore, the grounds, you see how big they are. A lot of times we only see when you go in and see when you don't often see the gardens and everything, and a lot of this is spread out around there, and it really does to show you, you know, the size of Kenmore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we take up about a whole city block, so it's really fun to be able to kind of explore different parts of the gardens that you might not typically see on a daily basis. So we have everybody kind of spread out so they can have their own space, their own demonstrating areas, and it gives you an opportunity to explore those different areas that you might not often think to look or think to explore.
The Punch and Judy show, the first time, and that's fun just watching the kids just love kind of the slapstick humor.
Uh-huh.
and everything, and it's just it's fun to watch kids, especially with that show.
Yeah, that one's a really fun one. We've been working with our Professor Horn, who does our Punch and Judy show, for years and years, and he's great. The Punch and Judy show is very traditional. It's been around for hundreds of years now, and it's something that not a whole lot of people know how to properly do these days. So
mm-hmm.
finding somebody who does a traditional, like, slapstick Punch and Judy show is really, really fascinating. And he has a lot of ideas and brings in new puppets sometimes, and his show is kind of changing and evolving over time, but still has those core elements of Punch and Judy and the slapstick comedy, and it's very silly and whimsical and fun, and it's really great to see those kind of traditional shows and traditional methods of entertainment still around today.
No, you get a good feel for what the fair has. I mean, usually you have cooking demonstrations, or, you know, people can try on Colonial clothing,
mm-hmm.
and there are games, and it's just it's a very high energy,
yeah,
fun kind of event.
Yeah, so there's the performances, but there's also music, and we have somebody who does 18th century perfumes. She recreates things based on history. We have living history, so people in historic dress who talk about all walks of life in the 18th century, as well as having, you know, the house open so you can walk through the house. It's a little bit of a shorter tour, but it still gives you the elements of Kenmore that make it what it is. And then being able to look out the windows and see the fair happening while you're in the house is also super cool.
It is.
And gives you a new element of something to look at.
Now, the house itself, like you say, just the narrow stairways, or you get a feel for what, you know, what life was like in Fredericksburg and in these colonial homes, and how they're built different than what we have.
Yeah, it's definitely a whole different experience walking into Kenmore than walking into a home today. And being able to kind of experience it in the middle of this colonial fair gives you a new perspective of the busyness of the 18th century and how things were always kind of happening around Kenmore and around the city of Fredericksburg or the town of Fredericksburg back in the 18th century. So Kenmore was on the very edge of Fredericksburg back when the city limits were a bit smaller. But there was still a lot happening around it, especially during these colonial fairs, during court days. So it gives you that element of what was actually going on in the 18th century, a kind of immersive experience.
And if your kids miss being able to play games on President's Day, they can come to Colonial Fair and get the hoop out and all the kinds of things that they do at Ferry Farm on President's Day.
Yeah, we'll definitely be playing games and have lots of activities to do as well.
So, Dave, as far as the dig this year, we'll spend a show and talk more about that. But I'm sure you're getting everything all together for the archaeology at Ferry Farm that takes place.
Yeah, we're gonna open the site in April. We hoped to finish digging this building last year, but of course it rained all spring,
and yes,
so
did.
We're behind schedule, and so we're gonna finish it this year. I've spent since from August till today, trying to figure out what the building was by looking at, there's a two-prong attack on this. The building has unusual characteristics, and so I've been using AI to find gray literature references to buildings that looked like this building.
Huh.
And then we looked up historical records where people refer to cellars under kitchens, and then and so we found examples of those. And it's funny, the archaeologists who find these buildings and dig them say, well, it can't be a kitchen because kitchens don't have cellars. Well, that's not quite true. And so I've got a collection of documents that talk about kitchens with cellars, and we have five excavated kitchens with cellars. And then the other thing that we're doing is we have pink plaster, and so we want to understand why it's pink. Normally plaster is white,
yeah,
but this has got a pink body, and it doesn't have lathing on the back where it would attach to wood. It has impressions of stone, and so I think the pink plaster, try to say that nine times, comes out of the cellar. It would have lined the walls. And there's a guy in New Jersey, a PhD in New Jersey, who looks at composition of plasters and mortars and stuff. And so we called him up and said, we have pink plaster. And he goes, no, you don't. That doesn't exist in this country except for decorative.
And
so we sent it to him, and he said, okay, so you have pink plaster. It's like, and so his job is to find out what makes it pink.
Yeah.
We think it's brick dust has been added to it. And that sort of makes it adhere better to stone, and it keeps the walls drier. The brick will absorb moisture.
Oh, okay, so there's a reason for
There's a reason for it, yes. Not just for pretty, because you can't see that, because then they just whitewash it. And so nobody knows it's pink except for the person that's putting it on, and, of course, the archaeologists who are recovering it. And so so he's doing his work. We're doing our work, and then we're gonna try and take away some of the concrete that's on that's touching the 18th century walls, and really sort of get into this building this summer. It's a very visual dig. Lots and lots of really great artifacts, and it's a big deep hole with lots of things going on in it. So it's the most visual site that we've been working on since the house.
Is this the last year you'll be at this site, and then you're going to go somewhere else on the property?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. There's another building that's on the wrong side of the fire truck road. It's on the it's an agricultural building, and we're going to go look at that next. There's and then I think we're going to shift to the north and go look for gardens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
that'd be interesting. I'll have to talk to you about that. But when you're looking for gardens, what you find, you know, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
We'll talk about that in a future show. Dave Maraca, Allison Ellis here this morning from the George Washington Foundation. It is kenmore.org. The website. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
It is Dave Maraca and Allison Ellis here this morning, the George Washington Foundation. Before we get out of here again, Allison, the Virginia 250 passport is alive and well, and you can take part in that. I mean, get them while they last, like you said, because you would hate to this spring go looking for them and discover that they only make so many of them.
Yeah, they've been out since November, so they only made a certain amount of them. So definitely go to your welcome center or one of those five key sites that they list on the Virginia 250 website and pick up your passport before they're all gone, for sure.
And they really are a great thing. You take them all around. You take them all around, not just here. You take them all around the state to the historic sites.
Yeah, they're split up by region in the passport, so you can kind of say, well, we're taking a trip to Grandma's house, and in this region, what can we see while we're there? And it's a really great thing to be able to just see everything in one place and explore new things.
And it really is the kind of thing that you hold on to. Look back at 2026.
Yeah, so don't just look at it as something to do this year, but look at it as it'll be a memorial, a memory thing for you years down the road when you're thinking back at the 250th and you can see everything that you did through those stamps in your passport. So it'll be a special kind of keepsake item even after this year.
And speaking of the Virginia 250, you've got a program coming up end of April 25th.
Yep, April 25th, we have the Drums Along the Rappahannock event, which we're hosting with the Stafford County Historical Society. The Old Guard Drum and Fife Corps will be there, along with Loyal Drums and the Black Horse Forge. Lots of demonstrations, interactive activities, Washington House tours, just an all-around event to focus on the Virginia 250 birthday in our region.
And it's free.
I was just going to say, it's free.
So come out. It is a free community event, so there's no reason to miss it.
10 to 2.
10 to 2.
On April 25th, and it sounds like a great event. Colonial Fair is April the 4th from 10 to 4. Mm-hmm. And as you always tell us and teach us each year, Dave, the Colonial Fair was a big deal in colonial America.
Without a doubt.
So you can do all kinds of things to see. You've got all kinds of – you're always, Allison, finding different ways to tell different stories about what life was like in colonial America. And you really see it. It's great opportunity for your kids to do a lot of fun things.
Definitely.
A lot of memories.
definitely a family-friendly event. Lots of different performances and activities to do for all ages, all around just a great community program that we love putting on and enjoy bringing these special performances to Kenmore's Lawn.
And this Friday night, game night.
Game night at Ferry Farm, at 5 Ferry to Farm. 7. Get your tickets in advance for that program on our website, just so we can know who's coming.
And you'll really see that a lot of games that we play today have roots way back then.
Yeah, a lot of the games, the card games and the board games, have roots from the 18th century and even beyond that. So you'll learn a little bit about the history, you'll learn how to play, and you can play with our interpretive staff and also with your other family members too.
And over at Kenmore, Movie on the Lawn on March 27th is week away.
Yep, Indiana Jones on the big screen right out front of Kenmore. Come out with your blankets, your lawn chairs, your snacks. You can buy popcorn and drinks, and it'll just be a great family activity for a Friday evening.
Kenmore.org has all kinds of information on events in the two sites. Also, Facebook has all of these and much more. Allison Ellis, Dave Maraca, thank you. We'll talk soon.
All right. See you soon.
Kenmore.org again for all kinds of information. See you at game night, Friday night at Ferry Farm. That's it. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.